Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Sisters and brothers, this is the Word of God. Now, you have heard the Scripture read. Listen and watch it fulfilled yet again as Vivian comes to share her particular gift with the church today.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I'll never know just why Christ came to love me so, but He looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus, He died for me. How marvelous His grace that caught my falling soul. Hallelujah. Many faults and so my need.
our life together as a church is enhanced when each of us discovers our gift and shares it with the church. Thank you, Vivian. Years ago, I was the pastor of a church that was between youth leaders. And so a number of us stepped forward and took turns being with the youth group on the days of their meeting days. And it so happened that the lot fell my way when it was the day to take them to do a ropes course at the local small liberal arts college that had ones tucked back into their the forest that they had behind the campus there. A ropes course, for those of you that don't know, is really a series of group challenges. It's a little mislabeled in that not all the challenges involve ropes. Usually the ones up in the treetops do. There's these groups, there's a series of challenges that helps to help a group to become more of a group, to operate more as a team together. That's what those are about. So I went with them to do this ropes course, and the first few challenges I thought were pretty easy. It took them no more than 10 or 15 minutes to figure them out. But I thought it served the purpose of helping them to build confidence together, that they could undertake any challenge as a group and figure it out, get to where they needed to go, and overcome all obstacles. The last challenge was the hardest. And the guide that day instructed us as the chaperones. He said, whatever happens in this challenge, you are not to do anything. Don't speak. Don't intervene in any way. No matter how bad things get, let them work it out. They can do this, but they can do it without you. The challenge that they had before them was they had to get the group of 10 across a long balance beam that was 2 inches wide, like a big 2x4 set on its side. And this balance beam was 2 feet off the ground to start, and then and on the level, it was level, and then it started going up. And then it angled off to the right, leveled off again, angled off again to the right, and then went down. In between, the beginning and the end were sawed off telephone poles, a few of them, where members of the group could step off the balance beam momentarily, get their balance, and get back on again. So I want you to picture, if you will, 10 youth, all on the balance beam, all holding hands, all trying together to get from the beginning to the end, all trying to keep their own balance while at the same time helping others to keep their balance. And picture, if you will, all of them taking turns falling off the balance beam. And then picture that every time someone in the group fell off, they had to go back to the beginning and do it all over again. It took the group a whole hour to accomplish this task. And as I watched there for an hour, not saying anything, not intervening in any way, watching them try and fall off, watching them try again and get frustrated, and try again. Watching them get tired and trying again. And then finally accomplishing the task with joy and triumph. Somewhere along the line during that hour, it suddenly came to me that the church was being played out in microcosm in these 10 youth. I got a vision watching them that day of what the church, every church, with all of its particular people and the particular talents they represent, is supposed to be. As I watched the group on the balance beam, I noticed immediately, as happens in the broader church, that natural leaders arose in the youth group. Certain ones in the group just naturally took the lead, commanded attention, tried particular ideas, and organized the group in particular ways. And there were others in the group who were naturally content to follow those leaders and be support people in the group. I noticed others in the group that day who were natural encouragers. They gave the group energy and spurred them on when they needed it. These youth wouldn't let the group ever stop trying. But when the group got discouraged or mad at each other or tired or wanted to sit down and forget the whole thing, these were the ones who said, "Let's go, guys. Don't quit now. We can do this. Let's get back up and try again." And the group responded over and over to that encouragement. I noticed others in the group that day were idea generators. When the group would try a particular strategy and fail, these were the ones who would suggest other approaches. They would say, "Okay, this time, let's alternate boy-girl, boy-girl, and see how that works." And then if that didn't work, then the same would say, "Let's alternate between our bigger and smaller people." And when that didn't work, they would say, "Let's have some face one way and others face another way. Or let's try putting our arms around each other's waist or shoulders instead of holding hands. Or let's go in this order or in this order." These were the ones in the group that were always generating options, possibilities for the group. Then there were those in the group that day who were really good at being first or in front. They liked being the engine of the group. But there were others that liked to be the caboose, or others that were comfortable in the middle. I noticed that when they had finally found their positions and someone in the group tried to put those people in another position, they fell. Some just knew their place and stayed there. Others needed to tell them what they thought their place was. There were those that day who were very good using their bodies. They were athletes, well balanced, and operated as anchors for those who were more wobbly. Others were good with their minds, thinking through problems and challenges. Others had a strong sense of intuition about what the group needed. There were those that day who kept the whole group relaxed, less serious, focusing less on their balance by being lighthearted together. The less they thought about losing their balance, the less likely it was to happen. There were others that day that had a knack for keeping the group on task. There were those who communicated strongly and clearly of what needed to be done when. And others were good at keeping quiet and responding to this clear communication. Some had long legs and arms that enabled to stretch out in ways that were needed at particular moments. Everyone in the group that day lost their balance and fell off at one time or another and made the group start over. Every single one of them. They took turns falling off. And there were momentary verbal frustrations expressed and directed at those who had fallen and made the group start over yet again. But I noticed they were quickly forgotten and the group was off trying something new again. Several times I witnessed them get heartbreakingly close to the end, almost there, and suddenly someone fell off and they had to start all over again. And then, an hour into that challenge, they put it all together. They got the right lineup of people the right strategy. They put everything together they had learned by trial and error during the previous 60 minutes. They got everyone to do finally what each did best. Everyone kept their balance. They were still holding hands. And they got everyone across the balance beam. And what joy there was in that accomplishment. What a celebration there was among the youth. When the ropes course was over for the day, the youth were asked to fill out an evaluation of their experience at the ropes course. And I read them when they were all done, and one of the youth wrote something I thought that was so beautiful. The ropes course was really fun and challenging, this youth said, and taught me that sometimes you really have to rely on others even if you don't want to. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us this morning from 1 Corinthians 12. Through the image of ourselves as different parts of one body. God has so designed us as a church family that we have to rely on one another, even if we don't want to. God made us to be in the church mutually dependent on one another. You dependent on me, and I dependent on you. The word I actually prefer is interdependent. God has made us to be an interdependent church family. What Paul discovered about the church and what we need to rediscover every year in the church is that we are each radically unique parts of one body, which is the body of Christ. Each of us is a unique, unrepeatable miracle of God, as different from one another as we can possibly be. Each of us one of a kind. Each of us equipped by God with very different gifts, talents, special abilities to share with this church family. And what we discover is that all of those differences are good. Very, very good. Given to us by God, designed by God, all of us made into a whole by God, all of us used by God to give us and each other and our community what we need. We as a church are just like the youth group that day on the balance beam. In order to accomplish our task, in order to be the church God wants us to be, and go together wherever God calls us, we need a good mix of people, some willing to be the leaders God has designed them to be, others the support people, or the encouragers, or the idea generators, or people that are good with their bodies, others good with their minds, people who know their place in the church and operate out of that place. We need people to keep us lighthearted and people to keep us on task. We need thinkers and doers. We need teachers and administrators and servants and lovers and communicators and counselors and organizers, people who can fix things, and a host of others. All of us willing to play our part in the church God has given us. We learn from Paul that not only did God give each church member in Corinth a gift to share with the church at Corinth, but God also gave each one of us a gift to share and sent us to this particular church to share it. You were sent to this church and not another, in part because this particular church family needs what you have uniquely to offer. This particular church has a unique God-given mission, a reason for being, a purpose, and God has sent you here with your particular gift to help this church realize its God-given purpose. Take a moment and look at these people around you. Paul tells us that God has assembled these particular people and you with all of your particular gifts to accomplish God's own purpose in this place. When all of us share our gift with one another, we become the church God wanted us to be. And the scripture seems to suggest to me this morning that if even one of us withholds our gift from this church, we will fall short as a church of being what God wanted us to be. We are that dependent on one another. I think of the youth group on the balance beam that day, having to work all together, every one of them, the whole group together, each doing what they did best in order to complete their task. The church is no different. It takes every one of us, each of us doing what we do best in order to make this church what it should be, what God intends it to be. God has made us that interdependent. God has so designed our church that each of us is utterly reliant on everyone else sharing their unique gift in order to be the church God designed us to be. As long as we are each offering our gift to one another, unity flourishes. When even one of us withholds our gift, their gift, we suffer. I'll always remember the picture of the youth group, each one of them so different from the rest, but all together, all holding hands, all connected, all working together to accomplish a common end. Each one of us here at Unity is a unique, unrepeatable miracle of God. And our uniqueness has been given to us by God for the benefit of the whole church. We're each so different. But when we stay connected together in the church and use our gift for one another and work together, when we recognize our God-given interdependence and live it out, God mysteriously weaves all of our differences and all of our different gifts into a work so beautiful, none of us could have thought it up or carried it out on our own. Amen.